Hello and welcome to the Weekend Wrap for the week on Wednesday. I am Ben Davison. Joining me on Wednesday will be Van Badham, as always. This Weekend Wrap is all about the things that have happened since we last spoke and the things that you need to know or should know as we go into the week ahead. Now, since we last spoke on Wednesday, the JobKeeper scandals have continued to roll out. There has continued to be more evidence that this program was poorly designed by Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg, with Solomon Liu, the billionaire Solomon Liu, receiving a $20 million dividend from a company that received $40 million in JobKeeper. Once again, this demonstrates many of the problems with this program. We discussed this in detail in last week's episode. I do urge you to go back and have a listen. There are some good corporate citizens out there, I suppose you'd call them, who are trying to repay some of that money. Solomon Liu and Harvey Norman don't appear to be among them, despite generating and receiving millions of dollars from the taxpayer while their companies have essentially turned huge profits from consumers. Funnily enough, if you're a consumer, you're probably also a taxpayer. So that's an issue that we'll keep track of. It'll probably continue to roll on. JobKeeper, of course, is scheduled to be cancelled in March. So we'll see what happens there, folks. There's still a number of people, many hundreds of thousands of Australians, who are relying on JobKeeper and the increased JobSeeker, although that has been progressively cut and cut and cut. Those will be completely wound back in March. We'll talk more about that on the show as it happens in the future. Also, one of the big things that's happened in the second half of the week is the controversy surrounding Margaret Court. Margaret Court, for those of you who remember my open letter to Margaret Court, is not just a champion tennis player from the past. Margaret Court is also very much currently a professed bigot who is actively trying to undermine the equality of families like mine and like many around this country. She actively campaigned against marriage equality, continues to try and practice gay conversion therapy, a practice which has been outlawed in many states around Australia, thankfully, and should be entirely outlawed, in my view, and has openly talked about how she does not believe that children can be raised by parents of the same sex, which is interesting to me, of course, having been raised by parents of the same sex. Now, Margaret Court has been honoured for her services to tennis in the past, and there was some debate some years ago about whether or not a stadium should be named after her, which inspired me to write my open letter and post it on Facebook, and many tens of thousands of people shared that. It was quite a popular post at the time. Of course, Margaret Court has not gone away just because they didn't name a stadium after her, and now it appears that Scott Morrison's government intends to give her the highest Australia Day honour possible. Now, there appears to be no reason for this. Margaret Court has not rejoined the tennis circuit. She's not won more Grand Slams since last we heard from her. All she has continued to do is espouse bigotry, hatred, and suggest that people like me, children of same-sex parents, shouldn't exist, at the same time as forcing a dangerous conversion, in inverted commas, practice on many of the LGBTIQA plus Australians who we all know and love and who are part of many of our families. Of course, it's an outrage that this person should be given any kind of award or any kind of honour. And yet, this has been leaked before the Australia Day Honours list has come out. And one suspects that this is the debate Scott Morrison wants us to have. This week also, we saw that there are still nearly a million people unemployed. There is still over a million people underemployed. That is, people who don't have enough hours at work to pay their bills or to do the things they need to do. We saw reports that wages in this country will continue to be at rock bottom, record lows for years into the future. We also saw that the wealth of billionaires has gone up by 50%. We also know that, of course, none of the close the gap standards, criteria, goals have been met as we go into Australia Day, which is, of course, also Invasion Day, and a day where there is quite rightly a focus on the pain, the hurt, the dispossession experienced by Indigenous Australians as a result of the First Fleet. And in addition to that, we also had Scott Morrison come out and say that it wasn't a very flash day for the people on the 12 ships that arrived in Sydney either. So many things wrong with that statement. Of course, there were 11 ships, not 12. So Scott Morrison would have failed grade 6 history / geography / social studies, depending on what they call it in your part of the world. Not only that, it wasn't called Sydney at the time. And of course, it wasn't a flash day if you're a convict at the time. But many convicts, of course, went on to be released, went on to be granted land, went on to have prosperous futures and prosperous families. And of course, Australia still lives with the squatocracy legacy that created as well. This is a Prime Minister who does not understand issues of race, of dispossession, of genocide, of equality, of justice, of class. In fact, this is a Prime Minister, Scott Morrison is a Prime Minister who doesn't seem to understand very much at all. He fails fundamentally. If Australia were a subject, he would have failed on every possible criteria. So one suspects that an honour for Margaret Court, who shares many of the beliefs Scott Morrison shares. Don't forget, Scott Morrison publicly stated that he had not voted for marriage equality. He had voted against marriage equality in his own personal ballot. And also, as the representative for Cook, he fled the chamber rather than vote for the legislation that enabled equality. And also, of course, he didn't have the courage to stand out, if you like, and vote against it. A couple of MPs did. I won't name them. Their version of courage is not the same as mine. I think it's much more courageous to stand up for the equality of others than to support the bigotry of those who perhaps support you but are not prepared to support their fellow Australians. So that's been a big story this week. That will roll into Monday, Tuesday, probably Wednesday as well. And of course, with Australia Day / Invasion Day happening on Tuesday, we can expect there to be the ongoing controversy over this. It hasn't always been Australia Day on January the 26th. It's fairly recent. You're talking 90s in terms of when this day was set aside as a public holiday. It's understandable why Indigenous Australians and other people who support them would be very much opposed to celebrating the arrival of the First Fleet and the beginning of an undeclared war that saw Indigenous Australians rendered to be non-human in the eyes of the settlers and the convicts and the British legal system for over 150 years. That's not something that's particularly worthy of celebration. Perhaps there are other dates that could be celebrated, perhaps dates where every Australian started to be counted as an Australian, including Indigenous Australians. Maybe that would be a more suitable date. I don't want to pretend I've got the solution to this problem. I don't. But certainly what I do know is that it is a problem that can be solved and needs proper attention, not a Prime Minister pretending that just because everybody hates it now, it shouldn't be changed. Just because it wasn't flash for anyone involved doesn't mean that it should remain the same day. I mean, what an awful, awful concept to think that Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister of Australia, thinks that our National Day of Celebration should be a day that the Indigenous population recognises as the day that started their dispossession and genocide, and that even he, the Prime Minister Scott Morrison, believes wasn't a particularly good day for the people who came here. I mean, what kind of a day is that to celebrate for any country? Anyway, there are many other things going on as well. One of the good things that's happened on Saturday was the Triple J Hottest 100 Countdown. I'm probably getting a bit long in the tooth, not as connected with the youth music scene as maybe I once was, but I was really pleased to hear that coming in at number 12 was Get On The Beers, the Dan Andrews remix, which frankly I think we all kind of clung to during those dark lockdown days in 2020. It's such a great piece of music, such a great tune, and if you like, one of the bright things to have come out of COVID-19. Speaking of COVID-19, coming into this week, it's a big week. Lots of discussion at the back end of last week about the AstraZeneca vaccine, whether Australia has enough of them, whether we're going to get them on time. There's conflicting accounts of this. There's clearly not enough vaccines today for every person in the world to get a vaccine. Production is ramped up. Every country that can is making it. We saw a fire in India at one of the facilities that was manufacturing a COVID vaccine. 5 people died, and our thoughts go to them, and we hope that their families are okay. And you can only imagine the pain that they must be going through. Of course, on a global scale, this means that production needs to continue, of course, for the vaccine. And there's lots of question marks about that. We get lots of conflicting reports from the Morrison government. Essentially, my 2 cents on this goes like this. There are people and places that are in urgent need of a vaccine. People and places that are in urgent need of a vaccine. And there should be a prioritisation. There should absolutely be a prioritisation. I would love a vaccine. It would make me feel safer. It would make me feel more able to engage with the world. Of course I would. Of course it would. But it's much more important to me, much more important to me, that my elderly relatives, that healthcare workers, that people who are dealing with large numbers of COVID cases in their own country, whether it be the UK or parts of the US or parts of Europe, have access to that vaccine so we can bring this thing under control. We know this thing spreads rapidly. We know it doesn't pay attention to borders. And a me first, us first approach is not going to necessarily result in us being safer. I don't want to see millions of people die who could have been saved. I don't want to see people get sick who didn't need to be sick. And of course, I want every Australian to get vaccinated, and I want every Australian to be healthy, safe and well. I don't want to see us become so isolationist that we ignore genuine need and the genuine priority of need that will result when there is not enough vaccine to go around in any one given moment. They're going to continue to make it. Everyone who wants a vaccine, I'm sure, will get access to it in the due course of time. So just make sure that when you're hearing about this, this was a federal government responsibility, right? Scott Morrison, remember early on in the pandemic, they had 20 million of these and 40 million of these. And of course, now none of that's turned up. And once again, Scott Morrison's made heaps of announcements about vaccines. But as far as I'm aware, not one Australian has been vaccinated. So that tells you a lot about this guy. It tells you a lot about him. Now, hopefully, the rollout will happen in March, and hopefully come winter in Australia, every Australian who wants a vaccine, and I really encourage every Australian to get the vaccine when it's made available to you. Please don't be a fool about this. Please don't buy into conspiracies about this. You know, you've seen world leaders have it. You've seen people get it live on television. This is a vaccine. It's there to help. It's there to make sure that we can live our lives. This is not some conspiracy theory nonsense. This is not something that's going to hurt you or hurt your family or hurt your community. It's going to do exactly the opposite. It's going to help people. So this week, I'm sure that's going to be a focus in the back half of the week after the Australia Day, Invasion Day stuff. And let me just say this, a quick shout out to anyone of Scottish descent, yeah, who's listening, who will be having a celebration for Burns Night on January 25th. It's something we do in our household now because we don't want to engage in the Invasion Day stuff that happens around the place, because we see that that's not appropriate. There's a lot of our fellow Australians who are hurt by that particular celebration, whereas Burns Night is a celebration of a drunk womanising Scottish poet and haggis. And big shout out and thanks to our friends Beck and Bob, who allowed us to join them for their celebration of Burns Arvo on Saturday just gone. So that's the weekend wrap. It's a big one. Don't forget, there's one more thing I want to quickly add. Minimum wage in America. We're going to go into Biden's inauguration and some detail on Wednesday, but something that's really, really important. While here in Australia, we see Scott Morrison attacking workers, attacking unions, trying to drive down wages, trying to make it easier to sack people, make it easier to cut wages. Of course, Peter's Ice Cream is trying to cut people's wages from somewhere between $6 and $9 an hour. That could be anywhere up to $16,000 a year. We're seeing all of this come out here in Australia. And of course, this is as a result of government policy. And how do we know it's a result of government policy? Because over in America, you've got Joe Biden, who's just taken over, and one of his very first acts was to increase the minimum wage and get the minimum wage on a pathway to $15 an hour federally right across that country. That's a huge thing. We're going to cover that a bit more on this week's The Week on Wednesday with Van Batten and I. But don't forget, folks, people make decisions. Governments make decisions that impact everyone. Corporations make their decisions within the framework set by government. And you, as voters, as consumers, as members of your community, shape all of those layers. So stand with your workers. Stand with the people who are fighting against pay cuts. Stand with those members of parliament who believe in, who stand up for the things that you believe in, and stand against those who would try and exploit you, exploit your community, and exploit your friends and family. Be kind to yourself, be kind to each other. Bye-bye.